Saul.
Hey, Dad.
Jess.
Harry.
Rhodey. Saul. Dana.
Dad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever Homeland podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm the Tin Man is down.
Nobody came out here, the Tin Man.
I was singing that song.
Maybe that should have been our theme song.
That's why I said, you know, don't come to a gunfight with a flashlight.
Too soon? Maybe.
Too soon? Sorry.
Maybe. He was a poor kid. Come on, man.
Well, that's what I said years ago when you see these guys and you all these cop shows have the flashlight. I said, wouldn't you just shoot towards the flashlight?
Yeah.
And I took some heat for that. Well, now you're telling us how to kill cops. No, I'm just saying, just making an observation. Do cops really do that when they're showing? And what would this kid do? He had the flashlight.
Yeah.
Boom. Just shot for the flashlight.
Like just giving a light up target.
You know, Quinn knew what he was doing.
So, this is the Homeland with Jay and Jack. New artwork designed by Jacob Parr.
Actually, fantastic.
Jacob-Parr.com. That's Jacob, J-A-C-O-B, dash, P-A-R-R.com.
Is it spelled dash or just the dash?
Just the physical, like an actual dash.
Okay. I just want to make it clear because, you know, people are at home writing this down going, okay, Jay.
This is a Jay and Jack exclusive show for our Jay and Jack Plus subscribers. And so enjoy it. We're going to be covering this season of Homeland, season 3. It's going to be a lot of fun. Homeland is a show that Jack and I both thoroughly enjoy. Fell in love with the first season, I think, like most people. Enjoyed the second season. Wasn't as good as the first season, but I still really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing where this third season will go. What do you think, Jack?
I think I'm hoping that they rebound. I thought last year had some really great episodes.
Yeah.
But it had some episodes where like they were kind of struggling. I don't think they knew what they were going to do with it.
Yeah.
My theory is, I've been saying for a while, just throw it out there, I think this could be the last year with Brody.
Uh-huh.
But again, I go, well, how much longer can they go with Brody?
Yeah.
Eventually, he's going to, what more can they do with him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carrie can go. She can go on to another terrorist.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And they kind of introduced a new, like, bad guy in this season. Or at least I feel like it was. And we'll talk about that in the recap.
And I do have a theory, but we haven't figured out what to call the theories yet.
Well, we could use crackpot theory. I mean, people know it.
All right, so we had the meth head theory for Breaking Bad, which was perfect.
Which it made sense.
Because I was sitting there one day just writing down different things from Breaking Bad.
Like, I think it's sex craze theory, which I thought was okay, but still it's not as applicable.
No.
You can just do crackpot. I mean,
I'll just do crackpot. Yeah. Unless we come up with something else.
Yeah. Which could happen. You never
I was
know.
Thinking terrorist theory of the week, but then, you know, NSA hears that and,
yeah.
you know, they're knocking on my door. I don't need that.
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
No.
What about a bombardier?
Plus, I'm doing it for the listeners, too. If they actually they're listening out in public on terrorist theory of the week, then they get, you know, reported.
Yeah.
So I'm there for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thinking about the people.
Yeah, you have to.
That's Jack Leifelter's way. So, yes, each week we'll be doing a recap, just like all of our other stable shows, like Survivor with Jay and Jack and Breaking Bad Jay and Jack, and, of course, The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. We also have listener feedback every single week if you want to call in at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
And also, we will be having a crackpot theory of the week by none other than the crackpot man himself.
I have one. I thought it was pretty obvious, but I haven't seen it anywhere.
Okay.
I mean, I could have been wrong because we have so many things going on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it mentioned. And right when I saw it, I went, I'm not
Before
stupid.
We get into the recap, though, do you think it was a mistake doing it the same weekend as Breaking Bad? Because I think Breaking Bad is just consumed. Like,
well, I know a lot of people have said that right away. I said, and I didn't think too much about it, but when I watched it, well, I get to watch it ahead of time.
Yeah.
But when I watched it again to take notes was right after I watched Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like going, I'm still in my mind thinking Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that going.
You feel like they should have had a week so that we could
But their ratings were the highest they'd been.
Mm-hmm.
So their ratings went up.
Yeah.
And right now there is nothing on. So they really have no competition right now. I mean, there's Boardwalk Empire. I mean, there's shows on.
Yeah.
But you'll hear more in the Jay and Jack TV show, Jay and Jack TV, what I think about the new season.
Yeah.
But it probably was a mistake, but I mean, they probably made their schedule, they make their schedule out months in advance.
Yeah.
And you know, who knew? I mean, Breaking Bad had what, 10.9 million people, something was some huge number.
Oh yeah, huge for them.
But Homeland did have a higher I don't work for a TV station. You know, I'm not a network TV guy. If I did, then there'd be better shows on.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Homeland Season 3 kicks off right now with the Homeland Recap.
Homeland Recap! Homeland Recap! Homeland Recap!
All right, it is Homeland Recap time. Have the episode Tin Man Is Down to talk about today. And this episode starts out with Quinn making a magnet bomb in some crappy-looking apartment.
So I thought he was doing something. My first thought, okay, he's going after Brody. He's going to blow up Brody because he's got obsession with Brody. He's going to blow it. It's a sticky bomb that's going to stick to Brody's head or something and just blow him up. Well, I mean, we really didn't know. I mean, that was I thought it was odd to start with that.
Mm-hmm.
But
it kind of it plays into it. I guess it's titled Tin Man Is Down. I guess that's
eventually it makes sense. But at first, yeah. I'm like going, because then they break when they, I go.
It's kind of, yeah, it was kind of a weird thing to start with. We then go to Carrie and Matheson. He's doing his best sour face, giving testimony about the Langley attack. It's been 58 days since the attack, and 219 or 214, can't read my handwriting, Americans.
219 Americans lost their lives.
They're trying to find out if they were compromised.
Right.
And the quote there is, you know, how can the CIA be expected to protect the country if you can't protect yourself?
Now, in America, we have a lot of useless hearings mm-hmm. on stuff. This yeah. one would be a useful one.
Yeah.
I would be 100% behind this one.
Yeah.
There's some that are just like...
So you're not on Kerry's side then?
No, because I think they need to find out what happened. Someone dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. 219 people died.
Yeah.
And... So, you know, they need to find out what's going on.
Absolutely. Like,
so if you can't, he made a great point. I thought it was the best line of the whole episode. Yeah. If the CIA can't protect themselves,
yeah.
how are you going to protect us?
Yeah.
And I would be thinking the same thing. Yeah. It's just something that you would know if this had actually yep. happened, that the press would, it'd be 24/7 on all the news networks, and it would be, that would be the question everyone would be asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's more of a witch hunt now, though, just to kind of make people like pay for the
Well, I think any time politics get involved, it's
yeah.
we got to have that scapegoat. We got to mm-hmm. have that person we can label. Okay, that's the guy or that's the girl. That's who's so we can take the heat off us mm-hmm. because it comes into play later on in the episode. What's going on? It's all politics.
Yeah,
but you do need to find out what's going on. People sometimes you have to be held accountable, and mm-hmm. and people have to realize, oh, I could lose my job. I could go to jail. Yeah. And, you know, other than just feeling bad that it did happen and maybe yeah. it was on your watch where 219 people died, this was believable to me.
Yeah.
You know, this happening, the way it happened, and what's happening now, it's not fantasy. It would actually happen.
Yeah. We then go to Saul and Dar Adal. Walking in, we kind of see the wreckage still at the CIA. Which
right. Nothing has been changed.
Yep. Nothing has been changed. I don't know if it's this scene, but a little bit later, he says, you know, they started repairing the Pentagon the day after the
9/11
attacks,
yeah.
and they're
right.
still not, so they're punishing us.
They're punishing us. They're keeping money from us.
But Dardal wants to throw Carrie under the bus. He says CIA is being punished, they kind of get word when Quinn is ready.
Yeah, it's funny because Carrie is the scapegoat, but Carrie actually, but you know, she hadn't. Relations with Brody, who
yeah.
they blame for the bomb mm-hmm. bombing, but Kerry was the one that said he was a terrorist the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of well, you know, she was, but then she kind of mm-hmm. when she fell in love with Brody and everything else, she, you know, she compromised herself. But
yeah,
it's funny how she's getting thrown under the bus when she's like, he was a terrorist the whole time.
Yeah, poor Kerry.
And they made the deal with him.
Yeah,
CIA made the deal with him.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's what's coming back to haunt him.
Yeah,
they did make a deal, and they know.
Yep. And they're just trying to keep their...
Lockhart knows.
Keep their butts...
Lockhart's kind of a jerk. Like, what are you smoking, Carrie? But he's right, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Carrie, we then go back to the hearings, and Carrie is asked about her relationship with Brody. And... you can't see that nobody's doing his impression of Carrie.
What she just said, look, I sleep with a lot of guys. Can you tell me who Brody is?
I sleep with a lot of redhead guys, I think is. So they show a memorandum of the immunity for getting Abu Nazir that they have, and she's kind of like,
Yeah, she totally blindsided on that one.
Yes.
And is this fair to Carrie, though? Someone in the CIA is jerking Carrie. I don't think. I don't think it's fair to her.
Somebody is selling her down the river, right
now. And we don't know who it is yet.
They're making her the scapegoat.
They're making her the scapegoat.
But Carrie has to lie about knowing about the immunity offer, and asks, "At what point did you know about Brody? Being bad." And this is where Carrie's kind of shown a crazy side. I don't think. Brody knew.
Well, they asked her because he said, bomb. "You're the one that." Had questions about Brody's loyalty, which was true. Then she came out and she just said, because her love for Brody, she couldn't hide it. Yeah. I don't think he did it.
Exactly. And that's where he goes, what is it you're smoking, Miss Matheson?
Yeah. And the lawyer's looking at her like, Carrie, can you stop here?
Yeah. We then go outside the courthouse and Carrie is taking notes. And Aaron, who is her lawyer, says, we can't talk about the suicide vest, the sticky suicide vest. And she walks away. She needs to get some air. And we look at the crazy notepad.
It looks like my notes. That's really the way I take. I'll write this different stuff down. It's mess.
And Carrie's walking out in the courtyard, and Carrie calls Saul about the leak.
But going back to the vest, because that comes into play. If America knew, or the world knew, that this guy
almost
blew the vice president,
everybody.
But the CIA was still willing to make a deal with him.
Yeah,
it'd be over for the CIA. That's why she said we can't let him know about the vest.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to come into play later on.
For the Raleigh locals, like we are, that courthouse is the Raleigh courthouse. And as she's walking out and looks down, they actually put the Capitol building there, but actually they superimposed the Performing Arts Center. The courtyard she was in is that courtyard around the Capitol.
I noticed it the second time I watched it.
Did you notice the cannons and everything?
Yeah. First time I was like, I forgot all about it. Even though you guys told me, I was like.
We then go to Dana, who is at a clinic of some sort, and they're in a discussion session. First, I thought was she start doing drugs.
I thought it was drug rehab.
A rehab of some sort. And Jess checks in with the head of the clinic, and we find that actually she attempted suicide.
Right.
And it wasn't just like kind of a cry. I mean, she went to it intending to commit suicide, and they found her in her bathroom. And we kind of find out what happened to the family after Brody was outed. So they've lost the insurance. Her mom had to take a reverse mortgage on the house to pay for them to go here.
They've had their life threatened, bricks thrown through their window, which makes sense because, everyone needs a scapegoat. Everyone needs someone to hate. And, of course, mm-hmm. you're going to hate on the family, which doesn't make sense.
But
that's just human nature. I think mm-hmm. every country everywhere in the world is probably guilty of it. But it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But I would think at that point I'd move to a different house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I just would.
Or they just worry that the move to a different house is still just going to follow them anyway. Might as well be really comfortable. But Jess is looking out the window, sees Dana with her new boyfriend. Making out and stuff like that. And as she's leaving and being picked up by her mom, the boyfriend tells her to call him. What do you think about this boyfriend?
I'll tell you later on.
Okay. Oh, is this part of your crackpot theory?
Could be.
But Dana and Jess get bombarded by the press as they leave the clinic.
Yeah, and if you feel bad for Dana, you feel bad for Jess. I feel bad for Dana because Dana's just coming out of a place where she had attempted suicide.
Yeah.
And the press, of course, doesn't care.
No,
they want the story. Where your dad's at. You know where your dad's at. Probably one of the main reasons she committed attempted suicide was mm-hmm. because of her dad and the situation. The pressure just got to her.
Yep.
And the press just can't leave the poor kid alone.
Yep.
I couldn't do that job. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes a special... I'm not saying people that do it are wrong. I'm just saying I personally couldn't do that.
Yeah. We then go to the CIA, and there's a meeting with Saul, and the National Security Advisor to the President is there, and we found out that there is a 20-minute window to kill all six targets related to the bombing, or the terrorist group related to the bombing. But it does not include the Iranian mastermind, Mossad Javadi.
Good job.
I don't know if I pronounced it right. I think I pronounced it right. What I thought was interesting is Saul did work with him in the 70s before Ayatollah overthrew...
Yeah, he goes, he worked for Iran. The Shah, and he worked for the,
He's basically, they call him the magician because he would make people disappear.
That's a cool name, though. I mean, not what he does, but if you're going to do something like that, you got to have a cool name. And
the National Security Advisor asks, do we have the green light? And Saul hasn't decided yet, so he's kind of timid to make that call. And Soth, afterwards talking to Dara Dahl, thinks they should go after Javadi. But I think Dara Dahl has a good point. It's just, we need to win.
Yeah.
We need to win. But he's worried that if we F this up, it will be fatal.
Right.
It'll end the CIA if we don't do this right.
It's a must win.
Yeah. We then go to Carrie's house, and Carrie's dad is looking over Carrie's crazy map, as I like to call it, of all the possible known areas where Brody is. And do you see, like, it's all over the world.
Yeah, and it's there's a lot, and it's only been 58 days.
Yeah.
I don't know, I get jet lag.
Dad confronts her on not taking her lithium, and it seems that Carrie
He's also bipolar.
He is as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's bipolar as well.
I don't remember that.
I'm pretty sure he's bipolar as well.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he sympathizes with her because he knows the condition. He knows what she goes through. So, but yeah, he was upset that she wasn't taking her pills.
Because she is on this new age alternative medicine way to control it through exercise and different remedies,
different eating. She's sleeping 8 hours. Well, she did make a good point. She's blaming herself for the bombing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you're going to say that, but she said, she says, I missed something.
Yeah, right in front of my eyes, I didn't see it coming.
Right.
And I can't let that happen.
Can't let it happen again.
So I get it. I get why she's doing it. But knowing in those situations when you're off the meds, you feel fine or you feel like invincible. It's part of not being on the medication.
But she hasn't gone full manic yet. So she's... Yeah. Obviously, it's...
So, it's either working or she's a good liar.
But we've seen her off it.
Yep.
So, something's working, but it's probably not... But she's, with all her notes and stuff like that, something... She's not 100%, but mm-hmm. I understood what she was saying. She said she didn't want... She thinks she dropped the ball because she was on the pills.
Mm-hmm. We then go to the Brody home, and Dana returns home, and they have their babysitter still. Which is good. And Grandma is there.
Grandma.
This is the first time we saw Grandma.
This new character. Because she got a reverse mortgage to help pay the bills.
Yes.
And Henry Winkler probably came over personally and helped him out.
Dingus has grown up a bit. He's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
and Grandma wants to celebrate, but Dana wants to do her Beowulf homework. Here's my thing. Grandma should know what Beowulf is. She's like, Beowulf?
Why does that?
It's only like one of the oldest stories in the history of the world. You should be old enough to know what Beowulf is. It's not some new age.
Grandma wants a party.
I guess,
like it's 1999. She's a party girl.
And a bit of an awkward situation. She looks, Dana looks in the bathroom. She's going to her room. She's like, oh, you had the bathroom redone. And Jess is like,
Nice. It looks nice. I mean, I get that too. I mean,
yeah. She returns.
But only thing I didn't understand was Jess has no money, but she has money to redo the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Not cheap.
I'm being responsible.
But there was a reverse mortgage, so there's probably money out, and that's how they, you know.
Because you can keep your house with a reverse mortgage.
Right. You can.
I'm just remembering what Henry Rico told me. But she's in her room, and she is going through her stuff, and she entered her unpacking her stuff, and she finds a note from her boyfriend under a troll and with his number. And then she takes a topless pic to send to him.
So she's sexing. Is that what it's called?
It's called sexting.
Sexting. Sexting.
It's all the rage with the kids these days.
I do it all the time. I just random people. I just. You may get something from me one
That's
time.
It's called flashed ting.
Flash ting. Crazy old man ting.
We then go to Saul's home, and Saul is talking to his wife on why he isn't suited for the job. And he talks about them possibly dissolving the CIA and revoking their charter. And his big problem with, you know, killing these people is he says, we're not assassins, we're spies. We should be turning them on the other people and using them to our advantage.
I get that, but in every movie I've always seen, so my impression of the CIA, they kill people.
Yeah.
But I get what he's saying. In real life, they're probably more just spies and spying on, you know.
Counterintelligence,
but he's making a good point. We're not murderers.
Yeah,
we're spies.
Yeah,
I've seen James Bond,
but it looks like he's drinking some scotch of some sort. And she takes away the drink and puts him to bed. But it's been 2 months since she's come back, and they still sleep in separate rooms. And he's still waiting to make the right call. It's like, come on, man. Saul can't make any call. Apparently,
no,
right
Saul's
now.
Just. Well, I think Saul. He also feels guilty. He was part of that deal.
Yeah.
And 219 people died, and now he's in charge. He says, I'm not cut out for it. And she goes, I think she says, yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does. I don't have the mental makeup or something like that. It's not my personality.
Yeah. We then go back into the courtroom, and they are talking about the whereabouts of her after the explosion, because her story was that she was in the ladies' room. It was exposed. She knocked her out unconscious. She's out for 14 hours, and then she wakes up. But the chairman states that somebody saw her leaving with Brody. She's like, what? Just a leak after leak, throwing her down the river. You are doing great harm to your country, and we will find you out, and you'll be punished for what you're doing.
Yeah, she's just like, bam, poor mm-hmm. Carrie. I felt bad for her at this point.
Yeah.
But she did leave with Brody.
Yeah.
So it's hard to deny that she didn't leave with Brody.
We then go back to
the
CIA.
You think she was wondering, because you see her brain working.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thinking, who saw me leave with Brody?
Yeah.
Because she's probably thinking it's not possible because there was such chaos and stuff like that. But but Brody was also a famous guy.
Yep.
He was famous even before he was a congressman, so it's just, anyway.
Absolutely. So then we go back to the CIA office, and Saul is looking at the damage from the explosion, and Dar Adal comes up to him and says, and Saul says to him, this could be our last order, but he says, take them all. So then we go to Caracas, Venezuela, and Quinn is scoping out the target. And then he's on his little motorbike. He's ready to put the bomb on the car.
Can I make a good anytime there's someone following you on a motorcycle overseas, they probably have a bomb.
Okay.
Yeah. Most movies, that's what happens. Some lone guy, if he pulls out right behind you, be prepared that guy could have a bomb.
Okay.
Some friendly advice.
Makes sense. He's ready to put it on, but there's a kid in the car, so he holds back. And
he doesn't want to kill that kid.
Nope. Anyhow, we go back
I get that, but from what we've seen in the past with Quinn, it kind of shocked me that he would.
That's where he drew the line.
That he would draw the line, because we've seen him. I don't remember him, because he came in second season. I don't remember him having qualms about doing stuff like that.
Yeah,
it was nice to see.
The CIA office is looking at the targets. They have everybody, but they're waiting on Caracas, and they're using Wizard of Oz terminology for the characters. I'm what we're doing. But Quinn says that there's a kid in the car. He's at the compound. Saul doesn't want to do it without getting all of them at the same time, for fear that one will just get away. So Quinn is given 10 minutes or less to get the target. So Quinn goes to the compound, super spy style, gets the target,
super spy,
and files. And then we see a little flashlight, so then he shoots to prevent the threat. But as he walks out, he sees it's that kid that he was trying to save.
And he felt bad.
He did. I mean
that was just
a kid. It's an innocent kid.
Yeah.
But the Tin Man is down, and so the operation is successful. They've got all six targets.
You said Quinn went super spy. I said Quinn goes Rambo.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
We're
We then go to Carrie, who is getting herself some adult beverages.
A lot of it.
A lot of adult beverages, which you probably get cheaper at Costco, but this is more convenient for her.
It's Carrie.
But then she makes acquaintances with a Brody-esque redhead.
He did look like Brody, didn't he? Younger Brody.
I guess what that scene was meant to be, not just her random hookup, but anyhow.
Well, Damian Lewis obviously was unavailable to shoot that day, so.
Yeah. We then go to the family dinner at the Brody house, and Jess is talking about how she's, you know, trying to get a new job, but there's all these 22-year-olds, and grandma doesn't want her to work.
I think it's cool, Mom.
Yeah.
They gave him the Blue Bloods line. Right away, I went, got to give the kids something, so let's get. I think it's cool, Mom. I feel bad for the kid. It's probably not him. They probably just don't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, just have him eat.
Sit there quietly.
Hey, it's cool you're going to get a job, Mom. Hey. Does that mean I'm going to have to? He should have said something like, now I have to make my own lunch, and I have to make my, because you're not going to be here. Something like that. A kid should be something negative. Yeah. Anyway.
And then we go back to Carrie, who's at her house and having her way with the redheaded gentleman.
Yes.
Gentleman.
She's on the stairs.
I can't be comfortable.
No, can't but be. But it's Carrie.
To each her own. So then it is the morning after, and her dad calls Carrie, and he's reading a news article. Says a CIA officer had a sexual relationship with Nick Brody. And she storms out, finds the thing.
Well, he goes, have you read the paper?
Yeah. And
this guy was on The Guiding Light. This actor, when I used to watch it back in the late 70s or early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And he played a bad guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a bad father.
He's also in...
He's in everything. Meet the Fockers. Yeah.
Oh, it's actually not Meet the Fockers, it's Meet the Parents. Meet the Parents.
Yeah, Meet the Parents. Whatever it is.
It's only a game, Focker.
That yeah. Jeez, Focker. It's only a game. You gotta be careful when you're saying
that. I know. So then Saul and Dara Dahl and the other gentleman that was part of that operation, Carrie comes in and flips out in the restaurant with him.
And she has every right.
Yeah.
But only problem with that, though, is they're trying to portray her as crazy.
Yeah.
And here she is in public being crazy.
She doesn't help herself a lot of the
time. No, but she reacts.
Yep.
And it's playing into whoever's setting her up.
Yep, it's playing right into
it. It just played right into their hand. I don't think it's Dara Dahl. Dara Dahl.
Well, he says it wasn't him.
He says it, and he says it again, it wasn't me. It's too obvious to be him.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be someone else.
So who do you think it is?
Could it be his wife? Could it be Brody's wife? Not Brody's wife, Saul's wife. I'm trying to think who it would be.
Maybe somebody you just haven't seen yet.
It could be Quinn.
But Quinn's like off killing people. Why does he care?
I don't know. It could. Well, he kind of had a thing for Carrie, I think, at one time, too. But what about the guy with the broken arm? That CIA agent from last year that broke his arm that was working under. It's got to be someone that we don't. It's got to be someone out of the blue.
And yeah.
Right now, I don't know who it is, but I was thinking it could be Saul's wife. Because I'm sure Saul shares information. I mean,
But why would she be? Like, I still see her being involved.
Maybe it helps to help Saul out or something like that. Make him.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be shocked, because why are they bringing her back?
Yeah.
That was my only thing. She's back? She left because she didn't want him involved. She was tired of him being in the CIA. Now he's the head of the CIA.
Yeah.
Why is she back? There has to be a reason why they brought her back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say right now, I'm just calling it right now, just putting it out there for argument, that she's the leak.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she wouldn't know the document, though, unless she got into Saul's briefcase and copied it or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Then they go to Dana cleaning her room, continue to sext with her boyfriend. And she goes out taking out some stuff, and mom and grandma is talking about her attempting suicide and the concerns that she has.
Yeah.
I think grandma makes a good point, though. He's like, you said you're going to kill yourself every single day.
If she wanted to do it, she would have done it.
Yeah.
She would have killed herself. But, you know, you got to be... Your daughter's...
You have to take it seriously.
You always have to keep... Well, because I think I see with Jess, she missed the signs the first time.
Yeah. So she just wanted to miss
it. And every time, anytime something like that happens, you're more aware...
Yeah.
You do pay attention when someone says something, then you start paying a radar goes off.
Yeah.
You know, before you kind of overlook it, and then now you're like going...
Kid being a kid, but then it's
kid being
like,
a kid, but then when something like that happens, you go, okay.
Mm-hmm. We then go to the major hearing, and Saul speaks at the hearing and talks about the order and how it was successful.
Lockhart is not impressed.
I was
going
to say, Andrew Lockhart is not impressed.
No.
He says, I think this is, I mean, he calls it what it really was. I think it's just a move to kind of take heat off of you guys.
Yeah.
This isn't the people that actually did the bombing. He asks to comment on the news article that came out. And Carrie's watching it on the TV. And Saul sells out Carrie on her being unstable and confirms that she slept with Brody. And he was unaware, and that Carrie kept it from Saul, and Carrie watches this on the TV.
Also kept her condition
silent
for 10 years and didn't, which I think was true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything he said was true.
Yeah.
But do you think it was appropriate to sell her out like that?
No, but I think he's now playing the game.
I think
once he saw that Lockhart didn't care about it. Saul's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's trying to save the CIA.
Yeah.
And he's in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get that funding back, and he has people under him that will take his job, push him out. I don't think Saul wants the job, but I think he likes working for the CIA.
Yeah.
He believes in it. He believes in it. I don't think he had a choice at that point. I think he had to sell Carrie out.
It was
like what he said, he wasn't lying.
Yeah.
And you're under oath, so you have, I mean, you don't lie to the Senator of Congress, so. Yeah, so I think at that point he had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't like it. I think Carrie's getting a raw deal here
as
part of it, but Carrie has brought some of it on herself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that is it for the recap. Usually after here, we'll have some listener feedback. This is our first episode, though, so if you'd like to give that, it's at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime!
Again, it's 206-309-0311. Call anytime.
That was weak.
Because we're not doing it for real yet. That's at the end of the show.
Okay.
Now it is time for Jack's Crackpot Theory of the Week. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let me get the drum set ready.
All right, so we see Carrie has a new boyfriend.
You mean Dana?
Dana.
Oh, is that Carrie? Or Carrie's hookup guy.
No. I forget about Carrie's hookup guy. I just had Carrie on the brain here. Dana has a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
She's met him at rehab. I think he's a plant. I think he's someone from the CIA to try and get information from. Because they had somebody in the front of the house watching. You know, you said the babysitters are still here.
Yeah.
They're obviously watching the house to see if Brody ever comes back. Not that Brody would come back with a car sitting with two guys, government agents sitting in the front. I mean, I don't know if they're protecting, maybe it's people protecting him. I don't know. Obviously they want to find Brody.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that a father would want to contact his kids eventually. Mm-hmm. I think the boyfriend is just a plant to see, maybe get information from Dana to find out where the dad is because he gave her the phone.
Oh.
And does the phone have a tracking device on it? Does the phone, I mean, we've seen the movies.
Yeah.
So it's he was just a plant to get in there with Dana to find out information. Maybe she knows more because I'm sure she gave information. You know, she was of all the people in her family, she was the closest to her dad.
Yeah.
Even closer to Jess, closer. So it's got to be he's just a plant.
Yeah.
I mean, he might eventually end up liking her, but right now he's just, you know. He's using her, and we're going to find out that he's working for the CIA.
That's a good theory.
And I'm sticking to it.
Well, there you go. All right, well, that is it for our first ever Homeland with Jay and Jack. If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
So that's 206-309-0311. Calling time with your Homeland questions, comments, and or
theories.
Also, check out our group at facebook.com/group/JayandJack group. Join all of the discussion fun, not only for Homeland, but just about every other TV show and other topics as well.
There's a lot of Breaking Bad Lost talk going on there.
A lot. and also check out our other shows for our Jay and Jack on our Jay and Jack Plus feed. We have Jay and Jack TV. We cover just about every other TV show, Survivor with Jay and Jack. Check out Breaking Bad with Jay and Jack while it's still in the archives. Also, Married Man Show.
Well, Married Man is the format has changed. We've announced it last week, but the format it's a Married Man Ramblecast. Take it any direction you want.
Well, there you go. That is that. We'll see you guys next week. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.